Hey, this is Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk about your earliest childhood memories. We're going to get to those in a few minutes. Think about it. Maybe your favorite childhood memory of the holidays, you know, they have significance. I know I've written on it, and we're going to talk about that coming up in a little bit. So call, tell us what your childhood memory is. We'll tell you what it means, how it impacts you today, what it reveals about the secrets of you today. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up. So you're welcome to call 888-888-1717. Plus, we are always here to answer your questions about faith, about family, about finance, work, and health, the five essentials, and how intentional living can provide a better life, more direction, more peace, more hope, and more freedom. So let's talk. The phone line is open to you at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Christina in Texas recently heard me talk about when we were doing on air or on a marriage conference about couples who are feeling more like cellmates or prison mates than soulmates. So, Christina, welcome to the program. What's your question for me today?
Hello. I had a question about your comment concerning, you said there are several different type of relationships. And one of the relationships that you had mentioned was to prison mates. And that just kind of touched me because I think that's just what kind of situation that I'm in myself. That I find that neither one of us are happy and we're going through the motions, but we're still, neither one of us wants to get out.
Well, Christina, you know, I think it struck your nerve because that's what your experience is. And for those who haven't heard me talk about this in conference or on the air, I use these kind of word pictures of the soulmate. Of course, that's the highest level of intimacy and closeness connected at that soul level. You know, heart to heart, where we can communicate, we're vulnerable, we're real with each other. There's very few or any barriers between us. And then there are many couples who, frankly, are more likely to be roommates. You know, kind of like college, when you're in college, you keep your side of the room clean, I'll keep mine clean. We get along, we kind of function in a normal way, but it's not a lifelong commitment. We're really not that close. I mean, we may have a good relationship, but we really aren't soulmates. We're roommates. And then I said the lowest form, and you referred to it, Christina, and I'm sorry that you see it that way for yourself, is prison mates, where you're kind of stuck together, and you have to watch your backside. You have to protect yourself emotionally, maybe sometimes otherwise. And of course, no one wants to be a prison mate. I mean, that's not something we get into marriage to become. So what do you do? Christina, I think it gets back to just being honest enough to lay the proverbial cards on the table where you say, hey, we don't want to leave this marriage, but we're tired of this kind of existence. There's got to be more to this. And there at some point, we felt closer and more in love, I'm sure. How do we get back to that? What are the barriers that put us into this cell together? And the honesty of sharing with each other, Christina, with a counselor, praying it through, and then starting to take those baby steps of loving each other. I have found when couples, both of them, start to actively show love toward each other, start doing loving things, even when you don't feel like doing it, even when it's not a natural thing, just taking that action can be a huge thing in the right direction. All right, Christina, I hope that helps a little bit. If you want to join us, maybe you have a childhood memory you'd like to join. We're going to get to those in a moment. We're going to have some fun. You're welcome to call 888-888-1717. And let me see. You can leave your question or comment just like Sini did. Am I getting the name right? Senny. Sorry about that, Senny. Go right ahead.
Hello, Dr. Randy. My name is Fanny, and I do want to talk to you pretty much about declaring my life in regards of my husband. First of all, he is not a believer. And I heard that you mentioned earlier about the marriage that is in prison. Marriage, feel like we're stuck. Part of decluttering my life, I feel like my life isn't going anywhere and won't be able to do certain things that I want to do because we don't have the same foundation, which is, I believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and he doesn't. It's been really hard.
Mm. Senny, listen, sorry about getting your name off there, by the way. Senny, listen, when we talk about decluttering, we're talking about getting rid of the stuff that has less value. Sometimes it's simply trash in our life. Sometimes it's just simply things that hold us back. But, you know, I'm an optimist, and I've seen God turn marriages around. And human relationships, marriage relationships, is never a trash to be thrown out. It's a treasure. It's a treasure to be worked on. And it doesn't always mean it's going to be saved. But when we talk about decluttering our life, I think maybe, and I would hope, and I know marriage is a two-way street and there's two people involved. So please understand, when I share this, I know that I'm sharing what is ideal. I mean, one of our mission statements here, one of the things that we believe, is that God ordained for a man and woman to be married for a lifetime. But we also know that doesn't always happen. I mean, right in our own team here, we have people that didn't happen in their own life, even though that was their desire. And so we're sharing what is ideal and what God's intention is. And when a man and a woman together can say, hey, let's not declutter each other, let's declutter the stuff that's keeping us from each other. And when that happens, there can be a growing intimacy. And what is it? I mean, it could be, you know, we've talked about in-laws. We just talked about in-laws yesterday. Maybe those relationships, you got to put some boundaries in place. That's creating clutter. Maybe we have outside friendships that create clutter. We'd have a whole thing on opposite sex friendships, how that could be a negative thing. It can be positive, but many times it can be a negative thing. Having work take priority over family, that can be a negative clutter point in marriage. It can be that we're not on the same page spiritually or financially or raising the kids. We can declutter our lives of the obstacles that keep us from getting on the same page. And so when I say declutter, I'm not thinking throwing out the treasure, but the trash. And there really is a difference. I hope that helps. We have helpful resources for you on our website, Senny, and I hope you'll get there at theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There's two dangers here, two dangerous moments that occur in life. And the first one, here it is, to say yes whenever you mean no. I think that's a danger point in life. To say yes when you mean no. Now, that may bring you short-term pleasure, but it always brings long-term regret. It always does. Or injury, or often damage. You say yes to sex when you meant no. You say yes to entertainment when you really, in your heart, you know, as a Christian, and trying to be intentional, you meant no. Or you say yes to the way you use your time when you really know you should be saying no to that. Or about money, you say yes to spending money using credit card when you know you should be saying no. And there's always that short-term pleasure. There's always short-term kind of a relief from saying yes to something you know to say no to.
You know, there are two one-syllable words in the English language, yes and no, probably, I don't know, right at the top of the list of the most powerful, influential, transformational words that you'll ever say. I mean, our kids, what are the first words that your children say? Yes, no, mine. A lot of no's, by the way. But yes and no, two powerful words. And I did a whole teaching on this topic. Members, just a word to members only. It's on its way to you. Maybe you've already received it. It's our monthly coaching, mentoring CD for members. How do I get to be a part of that? People ask. If you're not a member, come and join us. Very simple. Just go online, take only a minute or two, hit the donate button, sign up with monthly support. We'll get this to you. Plus, every month, a brand new teaching. We're all the way into 2019 now and starting a series in 2019 on living your purpose all through the year. It's going to be just a very positive, freeing, hope-filled series in 2019. Join today. And by the way, everybody who shares a gift
today and in this month, we're sending out a neat little book called Made to Thrive at Christmas from our ministry. There's quotes, stories, scripture, encouraging thoughts, something you can put on your coffee table and just reflect during this holiday season. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717 and press number 4. Talk to our staff, okay? Hey, listen, Dr. Kevin Lehman and I wrote a best-selling book a number of years ago called Unlocking the Secrets of Childhood Memories. And then I followed up with a book on my own on memories called Father Memories. And we researched a lot of interesting childhood memories. Here's what we know. Your childhood memories reflect who you are today. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. One of them, here's a memory, for instance, of a very famous person that we put in the book. And this person was a young boy in his family. He borrowed his brother's little blocks, you know, those little blocks that you play with and your kids or grandkids play with. And he promised to return them, according to his writing. And he recalls, here's a quote. It says, "I like them so much that I glued the whole thing together, and that was the end of Robert's blocks." Who is that person? A very famous person. I'll tell you who it is in just a little bit, okay? This is fun. Let's talk about childhood memories. They can be very significant in understanding how we view life today. The way we remember the earliest memories, the words that we use, the emotions associated with them really reveal a lot about who we are today. So let's talk. By the way, we'll leave the lines open if you want to join in. A lot of calls, 888-888-1717. Let's go to Colorado. Mary Beth, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your memory?
My memory is when I was 3 years old, my baby brother was born, and I remember my parents bringing him home in a Christmas stocking because he was born just before Christmas, and we all sat on the living room floor and took turns passing him around and holding him.
Wow.
And that's the first thing I remember.
Yeah, so you remember that pretty clearly, huh?
I do. I can still see it as if it were happening right now.
And as you're sitting there, is that little girl watching this, and you said you were about, what, 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old?
Yeah, I was three.
Right now, as you're saying that, what's the emotion with that memory?
Excitement, joy, love of family, feeling the love that we had that day when he came home.
Mm-hmm. See, Mary Beth, if I can just take your memory as an example and do a little teaching for a moment. You remember that the way you remember it, and you think of all the millions of things or thousands and hundreds of thousands of things that happened to you when you were, you know, a child. I mean, every day, hundreds of things happen. Why do you go back and remember that, bringing home, you know, your sibling and how their parents brought them home and feeling joy-filled and with the family? The reason is, Mary Beth, is my guess is if I know anything about Mary Beth, family's important to you. You're a joy-filled person. You enjoy being with your family, and you celebrate these kinds of things.
That would be true. That would be 100% true.
Yeah.
My family means the most to me. It took us a long time to be able to have children. We actually have 4 adopted children and a foster child now, and that's all I ever wanted to be, was be a mom and grow up and have a big family.
Hmm. Yeah, see, and the reason you remember that is because that's who you are today. It's not because that, quote, made you the way you are today. You remember that because it's a picture of who you are. It's very consistent with your life today. You're very upbeat. You're joy-filled. You're family-filled. You're Mary Beth, you know, and we hear the story.
Yeah.
Kind of neat, isn't it, how that works?
It is. Yeah. It really is.
All right. Well, thank you, Mary Beth.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Let me call in.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you. That's coming up. This is kind of fun, right? Listen, when we think about childhood memories, we think about just the things you recall. We're not trying to go to hidden things. Just, you know, what do you remember? Oh, I remember this. I remember that. Creative people tend to have creative kind of memories, color, sight, sound, smell, touch. People who are detail-oriented people tend to have memories that are filled with a lot of detail. You know, I remember this and that and doing this and then that. People who are very family focused, very family oriented, love to be a part of family, tend to remember family. Loners tend to remember times being alone. And then you add the emotion to it. Is it happy? Is it sad? Is it positive? Is there no emotion at all? Which may speak to, hey, you know, I wrestle a little bit understanding my emotions today. So What's the purpose of all this? Well, when we wrote the books on childhood memories, the idea was to give us a picture of where we are today, to see what God can do in your life. And I've heard so many wonderful stories of people's lives as they became a Christian. Their lives were transformed. The memory may not have disappeared. Maybe you relate to this. The memory is still there, good or bad. But the way you remember it, the words you use to remember it, the emotions you associated with it, might be quite a bit different than it was years before. That shows growth in our life, I think. Hey, let's get another one on here. Teresa's on the line. Teresa, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Good, good. What's your memory?
I was probably about 7 or 8, right around my son's age now. And I remember waking up on Christmas morning, going out, opening up all my presents, and my parents had kind of gave each other like a knowing look, like how parents are. And my mom turned to me and goes, "There's some reindeer poop that Santa's reindeer had left on our back porch."
That was rude.
It was. I was like, "What? I have to go clean it up? That's not fair." Ended up going outside, and it was not reindeer poop. It was a bicycle.
Wow. So what's the clearest part of that whole memory, Teresa?
Honestly, my mom looking me straight in the face, completely straight face, looking at me saying, "Santa's reindeer had pooped in our backyard, and you need to go clean it up."
All right. And what's the emotion when you remember that?
I was shocked and upset. Like, wait a minute, that's not fair. It's Christmas. I should be able to celebrate and have fun.
So what's interesting, Teresa, about your memory is the clearest part was the fact that it wasn't fair.
Yep.
It wasn't that the bike was at the end of the trail and this was a surprise. Teresa,
all I thought about was, you know, why do I have to go clean it up?
Yeah.
Why can't Santa come clean it up or send his elf to come clean it up?
You are a justice person, I bet.
I do try to, you know, make sure that justice happens when it's needed.
Yeah, but I mean, you're into, I mean, you measure things sometimes in terms of is it fair or not fair.
Yes, I do. And when you have two kids, one being special needs, it's, you have to look at, is it fair or is it not fair for the other kid?
Yeah, does that create some tension for you as a mom trying to make things fair all the time?
It can.
Yeah.
It can create some tension because my son, who's atypical, will get upset because his sister, who is Down syndrome, does something that's bad but doesn't get in too much trouble mm-hmm. over it. But if he were to turn around and do the same thing, he would get grounded and have his electronics taken away for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me and is like, it's not fair. And it's like, well, it's kind of hard to be fair when she doesn't necessarily understand why she's being grounded, whereas you do.
Which makes it hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes it 10 times harder.
Yeah. Well,
makes it 10 times harder.
You know this, Teresa, and we're not trying to do counseling session here, but You know that life isn't fair, and you've seen that, and you experience it.
Yeah.
But being able to teach that to our kids, what an opportunity, a lesson to show our kids that, you know, life isn't fair. It doesn't always turn out the way we want it to be. It doesn't turn out everything to be measured equal on the scales of life. And it does give us an opportunity to trust God and know that everything works together for good to those who are called according to his purpose, even when we don't understand it.
Yes.
You know, a lesson that our kids need to learn.
I think my son has learned that lesson when my father had passed away last December.
Mm.
It was really hard on him, and he keeps telling me, "Mom, it's not fair. It's not fair. I want Papa back."
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I have to tell him, I constantly tell him, you got to remember our faith. You have to keep the faith that one day we will be with Papa again in heaven. But life is not going to be fair. Life is going to, you know, life's going to take people that we love away from us.
That's right.
For a reason.
Mm.
So it's been hard, but he's slowly learning how the world works and how unfair life can be.
It can be, and I appreciate you sharing that, Teresa. The good news is, taking your analogy out to the end, for those of us who are believers, the bicycle, as it were, is at the end. Heaven. We know ultimately where we're headed and now learning our purpose and living our purpose. Thank you, Teresa. Great great memory to share with us, and I appreciate you taking time to do so.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living Wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
Hey, listen, when you do, a lot of helpful information there for you. We'd love to hear from you and join the community. You know, the childhood memory I referenced earlier about a famous American who borrowed his brother's blocks when they were children. And after he glued the whole thing together, he put it together. He said he liked it so much, he glued the whole thing together, and that was the end of Robert's blocks. Understand childhood memories. That is a memory of our president, President Donald Trump. You can see he's a builder, right? And he glues things together. When he gets it, you know, there's a sense of completion there, I guess. Yeah. All right. Hey, we're talking childhood memories. We're going to leave the phone line open. Love to have you join us. And we'll continue to record after the program at 888-888-1717. Kimmy from California wanted to encourage the first caller we had who was feeling trapped like a prison mate. Kimmy, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
So yeah, her story really touched my heart because I've been married for 25 years to my husband. We have five kids, and through that you go through difficult times. It's hilltops and valleys, and we have different situations in our life. We're recovering addicts. Mm. Our children are addicts. And we've been homeless a few times. So all of that feeds into your marriage.
Yes.
And it's you struggle with that. We were at a point 5 years ago where we were living just like that. We were roommates. I resented him. I had disdain for him. I didn't even know if I loved him anymore. But I know that I was praying. I didn't give up praying, and I kept praying. And I read the book, Power of a Praying Wife, which tells you to pray for you to change, not your husband. So I was asking God, reveal in me what needs to change. And I continued to pray, but it didn't lift. And we did eventually separate for a month. He was living in his car in our front yard. But it was during that time that God started to minister. I did not give up praying even during that time, because I know who God is. And I can tell you a year later where we are right now,
yes,
we are even better than we were when we first met at that honeymoon stage.
Amen.
We're best friends, and God is in our marriage. He's right in the center of it. So I just want to encourage her, you know, don't give up, continue to pray. Even if you don't see the evidence, because he is always working behind the scenes.
Amen. Well, Kimmy, listen, you shared that you can get into the lowest point in your marriage, your life, with all the complications of addiction and so on, and get clean. Get clean of substances, get clean in your spirit, get clean of the clutter in your life, and be better than ever. That is an encouraging story. No matter how low you are, there's a Kimmy in there in your life. Let me get Susan. I'm running out of time, but I want to get your memory on here before we wrap it up from Arizona. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share. I had a difficult childhood because my dad was an alcoholic, and I wasn't very close to him. As a matter of fact, I was always afraid of him. And one Christmas Eve, I heard noises in another room. It was the wee hours of the morning, and I opened the door, and my father was in there. And he looked up at me and smiled. He was putting together bicycles, and he said, ho, ho, ho. And I don't know why that's so special to me, but I've never forgotten it. It's one of my favorite memories.
And what's the emotion with that memory?
You know, I'm not quite sure. I think it was a touching moment between us, which we just never had.
Yeah. Are you married, Susan?
No, I'm divorced.
Mm.
I've had a difficult life myself, but I treasure that memory with my dad. He's passed away many years ago, but I remember that I miss him. Mm. I miss him.
Well,
we did get close in later years.
Susan, even though that memory sounds like a lot of pain associated with it, but that special moment, my guess is moments are important to you. You know, some of us have the capacity to go through a lot of pain and different things in life and have a spiritual resilience. With a moment, it can re-energize us. And it's easy to take a turn when we're going through a difficulty, get discouraged and give up. And my guess with you, Susan, is even though you go through times that are difficult, you know, when you have those moments with the Lord, when you have a positive interaction with a person, those things re-energize you, which is a good thing. Mm. All right, I'll tell you what, we are out of time, unfortunately, today for our live program. But the good news is we're going to stay right here, those of us on this side of the microphone, and continue to talk to you off air, put this down, record it, and share it at a later program coming up in a month or so. I'd love to have you join us. Maybe you have a childhood memory for the holidays. We're going to air this probably before Christmas, right? So if you have a holiday memory, I'd love to hear it, a Christmas memory or a childhood memory in general, or maybe a question you want to respond to. We'll leave the line open to you. Here's the number, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. I want to thank all of you for joining us. If you're new to intentional living, it's all about making a decision to say, God, what is my purpose? What is the purpose of my marriage, my work, my finances, my health? What's the purpose? Understand what that purpose is, and then live that purpose every day. And when we do, this is what I know from intentional living, it adds a purpose, it adds peace, it adds a sense of freedom in your life. That is intentional living. For our entire team here, for Rob and for Stephen, and for Sally, thank you all for your work. And for our team behind the scenes upstairs, we say thank you for joining us here at Intentional Living, and we'll see you next time.